Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, like we have every single day this whole season.
Yeah, we haven't taken the day off. It's because we enjoy it. I know this is a hard part of the season that we have upon us right now. Losing the three games by 26-plus points is really difficult to look at. But being Oklahoma City Thunder fans, we're still going to cheer for this team, and we're going to still cheer for the wins. We're really hoping that this team can figure out how to get some wins, especially with SGA and Dort and Bazley out right now. We're hoping that they can figure out how to steal some wins coming up.
Yeah, that's right. We're all about them figuring out how to make this team work and get some wins while those players take their time in recovery. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us while we watch this team. Thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. Here we go.
All right, Mark, since this is one of those obvious things for us right now that we're looking at, we really want to discuss this and make sure that everybody is on the same page as us. Talk about where our ranking is right now. We are sitting three games back of the 10th seed. That's something that isn't necessarily a good thing, but the reality is that this team is still trying to figure out things. We've gone 3-7 in the last 10 games, and we have lost three in a row. That is something that we're going to figure out, and we're going to try to put together. Mark and I have been discussing off the air about this team. We're 7 games right now ahead of Houston and Minnesota. We are 5 games ahead of Detroit, 3 games ahead of Washington and Orlando, 2 games ahead of Cleveland. In the rankings, that means that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams ranked ahead of us as far as the draft goes right now. Really, a lot of things are going to have to fall into place for anything to happen at this point that we could get in the top 5. So we're starting to look at this and trying to figure out exactly where we're going to start looking at and landing. Again, we're 3-7 in the last 10, and I think that if we can steal some wins out, we could be looking at a different outcome for sure.
Yeah, obviously, a lot of that's going to be predicated whether or not, SGA comes back, Dort, Bazley obviously has a chance to help us too. There's just a lot of questions about that. But in the end, people are wondering, are we willing to admit this is a tank? It's like we've won 40% of our games up to this point. That's not really what I would consider a successful tank, If the goal was to go into this season losing as many games as possible, winning 40% of your games the first, two-thirds of the season sounds like you failed at your mission. So clearly this wasn't the goal. We built this team to win as many games as possible early on while maximizing our future potential with picks and the trades that we made. And as the season went on, they had a chance to, get more value and get more young players like Tony Bradley added to this team and get him some more time. It's been impressive what they've been able to do. And at this point, we're 20-30. And, that just, in no way could you ever claim that right there is a tanking team's percentage or winning percentage, 40% winning percentage. Sounds like you were either, having a year where you're trying to compete or you failed at tanking. It's one of those two things. So I'm really impressed with what the team that we've been able to see play out there has been able to figure out. I know the games weren't very close, but what I have noticed is that these guys are learning how to play NBA intensity and play the minutes that are really hard to get. And I'm really excited about seeing, some of these players being thrust into starting positions that they're not used to and the opportunities they haven't had before. And I believe that with that time and with those experiences, what's going to happen is they're going to find ways to overcome the challenges and be successful. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the next few games. I think that we're going to get a breakthrough win out of the next one of the next two. We got the Hornets and the Cavs. The Hornets are obviously doing pretty well this season. They're in the, I think, the 5 seed in the East. So, you know, they're fighting to hang on to a pretty good record there. And the Cavs are, you know, struggling. But so are we right now. So we need to figure out who we can turn to for buckets, you know, throughout the course of these games. And right now we've been, you know, Roby's out with, you know, a concussion. And so we're in a spot where, you know, more players are getting opportunities and we're going to have to figure out how they can step up. But, you know, just because more players are getting opportunities doesn't mean that, you know, if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, it makes it right to start cheering for this team to lose games. You know, in the end, you know, if you cheer for the Thunder, the right thing to do is to, you know, cheer for them to win. Even if you think that cheering for them to lose will, you know, help you. Like, they've won 20 games this year out of 30. Like, how many times have you, you know, really enjoyed cheering for them to lose? That's your prerogative, and I don't really, you know, give a damn if that's what you're into. But the truth is, like, watching this team develop has been really special, and I've enjoyed it. And I do believe that they will figure out how to overcome the challenges that they have just been presented with.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. And looking at this team and where we're sitting at points per game, we're sitting at just under 6 points a game at 105.8. So we're sitting at just under 106 points per game. That is one of the lowest in the NBA's right now. That is okay. To me, I'm looking at this as a legitimate reason why we got to continue to improve. We've missed a lot of our big-time players. But the reality is looking at this team is opponents points per game. We are allowing 113.5. That ranks in the top 9 in the West. That is really impressive. This team continues to show that this is really just an exciting opportunity for this team to continue to do the things that they're doing. I don't necessarily think that this team is going to continue only scoring 106 points per game. I think they're going to be able to get more as the time goes on. And I'm just excited about the possibility that we can really continue to play some really good defense. And I know a lot of people are very critical about this defensive team. I'm not. I love what we're doing. I love the way that we're able to create major issues throughout the games. Whether it's in our post now or it's on the perimeter, we have a lot of contested shots all the time, and it's something that's really impressive to see how Coach Degnott and his coaching staff has continued to impress the type of defense that they are playing, especially without allowing opponents to get to the foul line very often. That is something that is continuing to improve with this team, and I got to say is that if we can continue to hold this up right here, is that there's no way in my mind looking at this is that this Thunder team couldn't put together a major win streak coming up here. And if we can get healthy, we can do some good things for sure. Do I think that we can make the top 10? Yes. Do I think it will happen? I don't know, but you better bet your ass I'm going to be cheering for it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we keep looking at. You know, we wanted to see this team make that playoff run because, you know, we believe in the value of making the playoffs and we believe in the value of cheering for your team. But in the end, the goal, like we realized this season for this podcast, was to prove that we weren't tanking. And, you know, we feel like with, you know, already having 20 wins at this early in the season, you know, it's really impossible to claim that you're tanking. Anybody who claims that is just, you know, manipulating what the word tank means, you know. Clearly tanking means, you know, to the front office to put the players and the team in a position to lose games. And they've put them in a position to win games all the way up into the point where injuries have really taken out the critical players. And we've seen those tankers celebrate the injuries, and we don't really want to talk about that too much. The point is that, you know, if you didn't need to lose all the games that, you know, we won, as many of them as possible anyway, then how come tankers spent so much time cheering for losing? You know what I mean? Those people spent an enormous amount of time and energy cheering for this team to lose games. But if you're saying that that wasn't even necessary, then why were they doing it? You know, of course it was necessary. Losing is a big part of it, tanker philosophy, and we frankly have experienced an enormous amount of success. That's why this whole season we kept celebrating it, telling you guys that the tank is over, it's ruined, you know. Now you can't lose the games that you've already won. And that's the thing. I think so many of them are looking at it saying like, okay, how do we get to where we want to go? And it's like, damn, we've already won 20 games, you know. So I'm sure they're expanding their potential of what they're looking for. Now they're realizing top five is sort of out of, you know, the question as far as, you know, your odds for your ranking. We could easily get to the top five. We could move all the way up to number one or number two. With a situation where you're in number eight, number seven, number nine, something like that. But that was never what their stated goal was. Their stated goal was always to be in the top, the bottom five, to be have the best chance at getting, or even the bottom three, to get to the point where they could get a top five pick. That was the goal. That was their stated goal. And that was never our stated goal. Our stated goal was to watch this team rebuild. And we knew that there would be times where we were trusting young players, and we know what that means. We understand that that means a lot of rough times. That's what we signed up for, you know, with this podcast. We didn't come in thinking, oh, it was just going to be a piece of cake and it was going to be easy. We knew that there was going to be fights and there was going to be battles, and there was going to be times of the season like this. It's not easy. You know, there are some difficulties with it, but the question is, do you show up for work? Do you go about your job, and do you do the right thing? And I've been noticing with this team, man, I believe that they're going to continue to compete. And it's not easy to be, you know, put in a position where you're asked to do so many new things in the middle of a season. But I respect the hell out of each one of these players for doing their best to figure it out. And I respect them for repping our city and our state. So I'm appreciative of them doing that while at the same time, you know, they've been put in positions that are challenging.
Yeah, and watching these guys, these young men and men deal with these challenges and adversity right now is something that's really exciting to watch. Each one of them have their different issues, but watching Poku as he really struggled in the beginning of the year, and a lot of people were very critical and very difficult on him, now he's just playing out of his mind. Like, these are the type of things that we get excited about. You know, we could say the same thing with Maladone. Is Maladone started playing so well that he literally made it so that George Hill was a tradable asset, because Maladone was just doing incredibly well. You could say the same thing with the emergence of Ty and the emergence of Kenny. Is we were able to get rid of George Hill because of that. You know, in looking at these young players as they continue to get better, yeah, they have bad games, but the reality is that each one of them are putting their careers in, you know, overdrive right now. They're getting an opportunity to get better immediately, and actually in the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years, become serious players in the NBA because of it. And I get really excited because Sam Presti has done such a good job at providing the right type of personnel for Coach D and his coaching staff to get the guys the ball when they're, you know, whether it's driving and passing it to the open man, whether it's the pump fake and sidestep that SGA and Sfido do that so great. Now he's added big men down low for our guys to help them out with a pick and roll. Like, this is amazing stuff. This has really just been fun to watch how this team's been put together. And that's why, to me, it doesn't really matter about what the record is. Yes, we've won 20 games, which is, 40% of our games, which is amazing. But the reality is watching this team develop into the team they are is what's so exciting. Watching and looking at the future of this Oklahoma City Thunder team is getting really, really exciting, and I'm super pumped about it, because there is no reason why we shouldn't be excited. We shouldn't be looking at this. We should be looking at this as a complete masterpiece by Sam Presti. Yes, we had three blowout losses in a row, but, you know, like, I don't know what else to say except for this is just happens sometimes, and this team will bounce back because they continue to show resilience and how to play hard and well. And I'm excited to see what Coach D and this coaching staff does.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love what they've been able to do. I think, you know, getting that win against the Raptors was awesome. The three games after that have been a real struggle. They were more like the Mavs game. And so we've seen this kind of trend set in where we're getting blown out and we're having to, you know, fight back and try to make the games competitive. And we haven't been successful in that recently. But that's kind of like one of the phases of, you know, maturity in the NBA is the fact that this is just how the NBA goes. So we're anticipating this team to continue to figure out ways to compete and ways to fight. I think that's one of Coach Daigneault's trademarks. He found himself in situations that were unique when he was in the G League, and he was, you know, constantly finding ways to overcome them, new players, new situations. And I think that's one of the reasons he was put into this situation is because they knew that there would be new challenges that were unanticipated. So I'm really appreciative of his ability to adjust and find the young players' potential and really encourage that. Obviously, the Hornets are playing good, but, you know, I still have high hopes on our ability to compete. Like you said, it starts on the defensive end. They're not at full strength, so there's a couple of opportunities there, but obviously they've been playing really well. Ball is also out right now, so, you know, but, I mean, like I said, the Hornets have been winning games.
You know, and Isaiah Roby is day-to-day, which is nice to see, and so is Josh Hall. He took a big hit the other day. That's nice to see that those guys are day-to-day. Still, Baisley and Dort are just out. There's no timeline for them to be returning. And it looks like the same is with SGA. This is just going to happen. I mean, these old guys are young. They're getting more minutes than they ever have in their entire life. We expect them to continue to have injuries, but we also expect the Oklahoma City Thunder staff to make sure that they are continued to be taken care of. Like, these are guys that they're trying to give long contracts to, that they're not going to mess around with that. They're going to make sure that these guys are going to continue to do what they need to do. You know, looking at SGA, he's out to at least mid April, which I think is another week from now. He's going to be reevaluated. Again, this is unfortunate for this team to have this much issues like this. But we have two guys on concussion protocol. That's Dort and Josh Hall as well. Oh, actually three, as well as with Dort, Josh Hall, and Isaiah Roby. Those guys, I hope to be back soon. But that type of stuff that we don't rush. You don't rush concussions. So it'll be interesting to see how Horde and the other new guy play. Is it Justin? Play tomorrow, because they played really well this last game. I was really stoked at the way that they were able to be picked up and inserted into the lineup, and did just amazing stuff for sure.
Yeah, man, it was really good to see them get so many minutes, you know, especially considering they were just added to the team. Yeah, the other guy, Justin Robinson, they had just been added to the team earlier in the same day, so pretty cool to see. And really exciting to watch young players get more opportunities. You know, great to see our young guards playing well, our young bigs playing well. And I'm really hoping to get Roby back soon. You know, this is the time of year where, you know, special things can happen for a player like him. So I'm really looking forward to that. And let's see what happens. I mean, let's get out there. Let's, you know, watch another game and watch them compete, because that's what this team is all about. Competing for 48 minutes. So we'll be back tomorrow to recap the Hornets game and look forward to the Cavs game. So thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave. We'll be back, like Mark said, tomorrow after the game.